Hi Hayley, good morning for you and afternoon for me here.
Good
And
morning.
welcome to my 10th episode of Off the Rails podcast. So yeah, welcome and I'm glad that you can join me. My first guest from the US. So incredibly happy to have you here and really looking forward to our chat today, which is all about your brand, Raising the Brave. So without further ado, I'd love to jump in and to, give you the floor and let everybody that's listening know a little bit about, your very unique concept. I come across you on Instagram a couple of weeks ago and I was like, wow, I have to speak to you.
Oh, thank you.
You're incredibly as soon as I seen your social, I was, super interested. I was like, yeah, I need to know more about this. And if I need to know more, then for sure everybody else does as well. So yeah, tell me a little bit about the unique concept that you have and how did it come about?
Of course. Well, first off, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. This is such a great opportunity, and it's my first podcast, so I am so excited. But I'm Haley. I'm the owner of Raising Brave Boutique. We are based out of Indiana in the US, so a little bit of the Midwest area. We do travel a little bit. So I am a women's and children's boutique specifically. As you guys will learn, I do cater a lot to boys specifically on our children end. I like to say our motto is bringing fashion to boyhood and motherhood. So for our little ones, we go up to about 5T in our toddler sizes and then XL in our women's. So with our concept, our unique concept, I am a traveling boutique primarily. So I am online. We do a little online, but with our traveling boutique, I have a trailer, a 7x16 trailer that my husband has helped me convert, and we travel across the Midwest to different pop-up events and markets. But we also do have in-store locations. I don't own a brick and mortar, like a physical location myself, but we are in a marketplace with hundreds of other businesses, and we have almost four locations now across the US with that as well. But our main source of business is traveling across the Midwest for our boutique. And we launched in March of 2023. So we are just about, over a year old.
That's amazing. That's what I love. And I wanted to find out a little bit more about that. So the unique concept about the trailer, and by the way, I will link everything, as we mentioned just before we come online. I will link everything so everybody has an idea and a visual of what we're speaking about today. But yeah,
Thank you.
the trailer, it's no normal trailer. I've seen you fold it down. You've got like an amazing Persian rug, by the way, just as you walk in. And then it's kitted out, so it's so professional. It's just such a unique experience for anybody that's able to come and visit. And you're kind of you're bringing fashion to those that maybe can't get to it for whatever reason. So why and how did you choose to do it in, in a trailer? What was the reason behind that versus getting a store or doing just an online like everybody else's? What was the real, where did the idea of a trailer come from? Because it's cool.
Thank you. And to be honest, I think a lot of people at first thought I was a little crazy because it is a little bizarre if you haven't heard of the concept before. But my mom and I, we actually started the business together. We thought of it in the fall of 2022. We loved going to markets and pop-up events just because everything is so unique. If you go to big box stores, you can get some great items. But when you go to pop-ups, everything is so different than you've ever seen before. The business owners are just so sweet. We always just loved that unique experience going to these markets. And so we decided, why not create a store together and we do pop-ups? So to be honest, the trailer did not, was that, that was not our original idea. We started in white pop-up tents. And so we had to carry everything ourselves to these events. And it was a lot of manual labor. The trailer is still work. But with the trailer, my husband and I together, we created it. We wanted a like a bohemian aesthetic feel. We wanted people to walk in and just feel like they're in a boutique, like at a brick and mortar, and feel still have that, important, connection to a brand. So we worked really hard together. Really, it was just a day-by-day project that we worked. So my husband works full time. So late at nights when he got home, we would be outside in our pole building and we'd be working on the trailer, building it out together. So we love doing the pop-up tent. but we just learned after a while it's a lot of work. And we also wanted a fitting room for our customers. With our pop-up tent, we couldn't really give that. And it's really important, especially for women, to be able to try on clothes and find that they fit properly. And that's been probably one of the biggest compliments we've had from our customers so far, is that we have a fitting room available for them. We still do like an outdoor setup with our trailer. So there's still like a table and a couple of racks outside. But our main piece when people come to our pop-up events is being able to go in our trailer and still have that boutique experience.
That's cool. And you definitely have those few things that you've just touched on, like creating the bohemian vibe and everything like that. That is like sings to my core. And I think that's probably one thing that attracted me when I was scrolling through. I was like, ah, that person, I like what they're doing. And then your concept. And for me, anybody that has a dream and makes it a reality, I think it takes so much patience. It takes a lot of guts. I think we were saying just before we come on here, like the self-doubt that keeps rearing its ugly head every so often. Yeah. You know, it takes a lot to keep squashing that down and, no, I can do this. I'm fighting another day. So a couple of things kind of leading on from what you've just said. With regards to customers, how do you, for anybody listening that's thinking, I've always wanted to do that, I'd love to do something along those lines and create my own brand, have my own concept, do something similar. How do you get to your customers? What's your engagement like? How do you speak to them? How do you let them know where you're going to be? What does that look like for you?
So the first thing I always recommend to people who are wanting to get into the business is to do a lot of research. Look in your area. Like when we started, we were only traveling probably within an hour distance. We didn't want to go out too far because this was all a new concept to us. And then from there, once I was able to find all of these events in my area, I started building relationships, and relationships have really helped me be able to scale my business, because now we're able to find really large scale events that are, you know, 3 to 4 hours away or 6 hours away. So we've really expanded our travel because of that, and it's really helped us. So instead of only maybe having like 500 customers that are going to these events, now we're having 10,000 customers. Wow. That we're able to get our brand in front of. And some of these events that we're going to, you have to apply. And they have to look at your application and see if you're a good fit. You know, we have been on some that you have to be on a wait list for a year or so to even get into. So it is a process, but I always just tell people, take the time and research, and then also build those relationships, because that will really help you become successful. And you know, some of these events, they're hard to find, but through other people, they will give you those recommendations and they might be able to help you get into those events even faster. But with my customers, I, on social media, like to post where I'm going to be at. I always like to give them my schedule so they can find me. But besides that, besides social media, it's also on my website, my schedule, so everyone can keep tabs on where we're going to be at. And I also like to post a lot of reels and post of the day of the events, so people can kind of understand a little bit more about what is a pop-up boutique. You know, what is she doing to begin with? Because it is a unique concept. And some people don't go to markets or go to these pop-up events. But I like to try to create an excitement around the experience to help people want to come next time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big thing, you know. And this is why I love speaking to people like yourselves and this concept that is so natural. And, you know, you get to speak to people again. You get that feedback. You get the feeling, you know, which somewhat we've lost because of the realm of, you know, big corporate companies, so much online, a little bit like what you were just saying around having the fitting room, like all those things you're bringing back, which we've lost naturally to so much online and so much of these bigger platforms. So having that back again and really kind of, you know, you endorsing these kind of little creative moments for people is, you know, it's priceless, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So I think that's great. And like you say, the best way is I can't because I'm the one saying it. You can't kind of knock, is probably a very UK term, but you can't kind of burn the hand that gives you the results, because yeah, we do lean on the internet and social media to promote certain things. However, I love what you're doing, which is bringing the reality to people again. And, you know, I've worked for e-commerce for many years prior to branching out and doing this, but yeah, I certainly miss, you know, feeling close, trying them on, and bringing that back to people is, yeah, it's priceless, really. So thinking about that, and also kind of with your customers, so you cater towards moms, you cater towards children, and specifically little boys. Have you got any like cool stories, any like cool interactions that you've had? I can imagine kids coming up to this trailer and it being a shop. It's like, wow, this is cool. Like, what's been your experience in that?
Well, it's funny you mentioned the kids. I was at a pop-up event over the weekend, and I had so many children who just loved going up and down my ramp, and they loved going into the fitting room, and they thought it was so cool, which is nice too, because then the moms have a moment where they know their children are fine and they're not distracted, but they're having a good time so that they can actually shop for a moment. Because, as a mom, it can be difficult to shop when you have kiddos because it can be distracting to them and they have to keep going back and forth between their child and can't actually, be able to enjoy shopping themselves. But, it's been great, honestly. And I hate calling them my customers because really they become my friends over these events. And I've had a lot of repeat, friends that are coming to visit us at these events. But it's been wonderful hearing all these stories just about how these boy moms specifically have struggled to find clothes that really resonate with them, and really, show their style through their children. It's hard as a boy mom to find trendy pieces that they can feel confident in. There's really not that much, not a lot of like modern style for boys. And I know when I became, a boy mom myself, I have two boys. It was hard. And even when I was pregnant, I would have people come to me saying, "Are you having a boy or girl?" And when they'd find out I'd have a boy, they're like, "Aw, but girls, you can dress them. It's so much more fun to dress little girls. Boys, on the other hand." So when I heard all of those comments over and over, it really like told me like, "Hey, you need to open a boutique specifically for those boy moms so that they can have modern pieces that they can feel proud of." And that's what I love, because all my customers always say, "Thank you so much for having these great stylish pieces for my son, because I can't find them anywhere." And if you can find them, usually you have to find them online, which, like I said, we do have a website. People can shop with us online at raisingbrave.com, but people like to be able to have that in-person experience too. So that's why we like to bring those modern pieces to the moms in person. So it's been a lot of fun just being able to connect with other boy moms, and they're just always so excited. It's fun to see their faces light up when they walk into our trailer, especially when they see all the boy clothes.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so, kind of authentic about what you're doing is the fact that you've lived and you are living that reality of, like you say, the opportunity for people that have little girls. Yeah, it's, oh, you can dress them so cute. There's everything, it seems to be an endless supply of merchandise that's tailored towards little girls. However, yes, it does. It's much more limited when you go into a store for boys. So the fact that you realize the problem and you were like, okay, I'm going to make sure that this isn't a continued problem. I'm going to bring a solution, and you know it firsthand, which is the beauty of anybody walking into, your trailer online. It's like, well, this person really knows, because they've lived through it. They're not just bridging a gap because it's going to make some money. They know, that there is difficulty. We want to have kids being able to express themselves in a certain way and not just, that'll work because, you're gonna, it's fit for purpose, but it's also, like you say, it's trend led. It looks good, the kids feel comfortable and it's fun, and that's what it should be about when you're a child. It should have all those things, tick all those boxes.
Yeah, definitely. And there's nothing wrong with characters on the boy clothes or like TV shows. But that's what the market currently is. It seems like all the boy clothes are just characters, or like police cars or construction vehicles. It's nothing that moms can dress up their little ones and do family photos together and love their outfit or their style. I like to dress my boys, I always say rad, kind of like streetwear, punk style. So that's always resonated with me, and that's a lot of the clothes that I like to offer my moms.
That's cool. No, I love that. And like I say, I think the fact that you can relate and you are firsthand had those experiences and you found the solution to a problem. And I think that goes without saying is the foundation of any good business. If you know that there's a problem out there and you know how to solve it, then amazing. Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I wanted to ask kind of further than that, obviously, you thought up this, your brand, started out, you have the support of what sounds like your mom, your husband, you have your kids involved, because they're naturally going to be your inspiration, because that's who you're wanting to cater for. But on the business side, what have been your biggest learnings? Because again, anybody that's listening to this podcast, they may have a similar aspiration, but there's always so many great things that, you know, we can do with businesses, and, you know, what we post on social media is 9 times out of 10, the great stuff, the nice things. Yes. But what are the challenges that you personally have faced through, you know, launching your own business that you would give advice to anybody listening?
So I think one challenge, at least when I started, I compared myself a lot to other boutique owners and others in the business. And I had to learn, like, for me, like, I need to step away. And I love all my boutique friends that I've made, but I did have to unfollow them so that I did not see them day to day and see what they're doing, because I wanted to be my own person and have my own business and do things differently. Because, you know, social media, it's so easy to see the same thing over and over, and then you want to do the same thing. So I just had to step away a little bit. I wanted to do my own thing. And not only that, is I would compare myself, but you don't know where they are at in their business journey. They could be like 5 years ahead from where I'm at. So, you know, everyone's success is different, and everyone is at a different step in their journey. So I just had to learn not to compare myself.
I think that's a really, really good tip, because we speak a lot, or, you know, the world speaks a lot about younger people getting swept up in social media and how it influences you, how it makes, you know, has a negative connotation, all these things. I think regardless of your age, it does that. I find myself mindlessly scrolling, thinking of, you know, oh, I could do that. Oh, that looked really good. Oh, that looked really polished. Mine doesn't look that way. And that constant comparison can be damaging. Like, yes, it's good to do your research and understand where you sit from a, you know, a peer level, of course. And we can't, you know, blinker ourselves from that completely. But I think it's a really important piece of advice that you've just stated, is, you know, you do have to kind of blank out the white noise at times, because it does get deafening. I think that's the best kind of way of, you know, giving an analogy to that, because yeah, the world is a crazy place. So when you, when you can quieten that a little bit, I think that's a really good, a really great piece of advice. And again, I feel like we only spoke for a second before we came online, but we said about, you know, that self-doubt. And I think if you can control that, like you're saying, like a tip from your side, it's definitely worth for anybody listening to take that on board, for sure. Because I think to really kind of understand who you are and what you want, that is a really great way of looking at it and refining kind of, you know, this is who I am and this is what I want to do for my brand, is super important.
That's and cool. Self-doubt is definitely something that I know my whole life I honestly struggled with. I had a hard time, you know, with confidence issues growing up. And so I think a lot of people thought I was a little crazy when I wanted to start a boutique, because that just wasn't who I was, honestly. But through the business and through my boutique, I have been able to gain so much more confidence. And so, like, just looking back, you know, only a year, because we've only been in business a year, I think I'm a completely different person, a more confident person, which has been amazing. And so, you know, to other business owners who struggle with confidence, I definitely recommend, like I said earlier, just building those connections and finding other business owners that you can rely on. You know, whether they're in the same business or another, a lot of small business owners and brands, you know, we can work together. And just, you know, have an accountability partner, honestly. And, you know, our friends and family, they are great supporters, but they don't always understand the business side. Or sometimes they might think that your business is just a side hustle, as some people will say, you know, but we are very serious about our business. So we need other people who are like-minded and also serious about theirs. It's nice to have people to bounce ideas off of as well.
Completely. But you've hit the nail on the head. Like, you couldn't have been more accurate with that. One thing I love about what you've just said is, you know, building that community, because yes, your family are there. They'll go either way if they're anything like my family. It's either the harsh truth and very curt, and sometimes it's like, oh, that hurts. Or they're like, everything's great, you're doing great, and you're like, neither one really help at the moment. But if you have that community of people that they understand on a different wavelength, it's so important. A community that supports each other, a community that knows, and a community that also, you know, you champion each other. So you become this kind of circle of trust of, you know, either whether it's you're having a down day and you need somebody to pick you up, or a community of, oh, you know what, there's this event, let's all club together and we can go. Yeah. Like, you know, you become each other's biggest supporters. So I think community is key. I know I found when I first started doing this, this being my coaching company for anybody who's listening, I was pleasantly surprised at the amount of people that are willing to help each other. Just mm-hmm. like you and I reached out to you on Instagram, you came back to me, I asked you if you'd do this, and it was like, yes, I absolutely will. And it just keeps surprising me how many good people there are out there that genuinely want to help each other. So
yes,
that resonates with me a lot, that community topic that you speak of. I think it's so important.
Mm-hmm. Some of my best friends, honestly, are the business owners that I've met over the last year. Such a great community. And what always surprises me too is that I'm friends with other boutiques. We don't see each other as a competition. We're friends, so we can bounce ideas off of each other, or just say, hey, I'm having a rough week, can you help lift me up a little bit? So it's just nice. It's been such a blessing meeting all these wonderful people throughout this journey.
Completely, it is. And I think those things are priceless, and it makes it all worthwhile when you have your community. Yeah, absolutely. So two more questions. One is, you are a new brand, and you know what you're doing is so unique, which is always a beautiful place to be when you have that USP. You know, you have a passion, like I said, you saw a problem, you're bringing through a solution for it. But what's next? What's next for your brand? Where do you see it going, and what are your aspirations?
Great question. So right now, like I said earlier, boy clothes, it is very difficult to find pieces that I think really fit like our brand, that are trendy, that are rad. And so what we started doing, we're actually manufacturing some of our own pieces for our brand, so our Raising Brave brand. So we just started doing that over the last couple of months. So that's been very exciting. So right now we're working on that. Hopefully we can ramp it up more, you know, this fall and winter to have more Raising Brave specific pieces. But besides that, honestly, just continuing to travel. We go to pop-up events about twice a month. And we don't do every weekend just because, like I said, I'm a mom, I have a family. We need those weekends just to rest and just to be. But just to continue traveling. And then also, like I said earlier, we have 4 locations within a marketplace. And I'm hoping that we can maybe have up to 6 before 2025.
Cool. I think that's really, really great aspirations. The fact that you're doing your own label is, yeah, that's something mega to be proud of. I think that's beautiful to have your own range and complete, you know, creative direction of what you want to do, and really putting your stamp on things is, yeah, that's going to be special. Absolutely.
Thank you.
One last question, which I'm hoping you can give for the listeners and for me as well, because I'm finding this talk actually really, I've been getting a lot of like energy from you, which is perfect for me for the rest of the day.
Awesome.
What would be your 3 top tips for anybody starting out doing exactly your journey? What would that look like for you?
Number one, and I know I already said it, just don't compare yourself. You are, you know, your own person. Your business is your own. Do something different. Try not to speak to everyone. I think it's important to niche down and do your own thing. That's going to speak more, you know, the most to your customers. Number 2 is spend time creating processes from day one. I know that's not fun, you know, more of the administrative side of the business. Like for me, I'm very creative. I do not like the admin, the actual business side. So that's something I'm working on. But spending time creating processes in your business that are going to help you stay organized, because as you scale, you know, it gets messy and you don't have that time, that free time to be able to sit down and create those processes that are going to help you be successful from day one. So take the time to do that. I definitely recommend that. And then number three, just being able to find a supportive community, whether that's going to Facebook and going to Facebook groups. You know, maybe you don't have a local community that you can join. Find one online that you can bounce ideas off of or just connect with other women or business owners. I think that's so important. I know for me, I'm on probably 10 different business women groups on Facebook, but also I have been a part of a couple small business owner communities that we meet locally, and that's been great. Or I just have my friends that I talk to, you know, on a day-to-day basis about business. But that's very important to help you be successful and to keep you accountable.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've touched on a couple of those that you mentioned throughout the call, which was, you know, the community, you know, the inspiration around other brands, knowing where to, you know, look at and where to kind of come out of that again, and making sure you control, you know, how you, let's say, take inspiration, but know when to come back and kind of reset yourself. So I think those two are a brilliant piece of advice. The one thing that I think a lot of business owners, which was your second tip, kind of tend to kind of, let's say, blush over is the admin and the organizational side. Let's face it, I don't think many people really enjoy it. It is the boring side of it, especially when you're a creative, because it's the thing that takes time. It's not something that maybe comes natural, yes or no, to somebody. However, like you say, I think without that, there is a possibility of, you know, becoming overwhelmed, not being able to scale in the way that you had intended to, because without getting that admin side right, like, for example, for yourself, organizing where you're going to be when, making sure that your business is profitable, especially when you're going into things like own brand, making sure that, you know, your demand is meeting, you know, the consumer, the demand and supply is in the right balance. So all those things from an administrative point of view, there's a lot to kind of, there's a lot behind that word, but without knowing that from a business point of view, I think, you know, that's where you could become unstuck. So taking that into account is, yeah, I love that piece of advice. I think that's underpins, you know, anybody starting out in you know, their own kind of realm of starting up a little business.
Thank you. And I've learned that, you know, from experience on a few things. And I've just learned, you know, even though, like, I might be doing this solo, my husband definitely is my business partner. He helps, but he's busy with his full-time job. So I've just learned from day one, just writing out processes so that I have them. Because there's going to become a day, and I know there's going to become a day where I'm going to be able to hire my first employee who's going to come in, and I can give them the steps. I already have it written out. They already have the book of how to, so that I'm already prepared. So, because, you know, when you hire your first employee, you want to be organized. So that's my goal, is to be able to have that available for when the time comes.
Yeah, I love that. Like the your voice just picked up that, you know, that for anybody that is a small business owner, and I dream of that day as well, that you will have your first employee. Like, that is that's another beautiful aspiration to have. Like, and I hope that comes for you soon.
Thank you.
You know, because what you're doing is brilliant. And I think, you know, everything that you've spoken about, you're obviously very passionate about what you do, and you're breaking barriers. You're not afraid to keep moving, you know, trying new things, keeping, you know, every door open. And like anything, I think anybody that's listening to this is, you know, with a small business, you have to keep trying. There's no right and there's no wrong, and you'll learn when there's things that, you know, might not go the way you want it. But I think for anybody that wants to start their own business, it's don't be afraid to fail in certain elements of, you know, as you open those doors. But the fact that you're aiming for a really positive route, which is, I think that's this a main ingredient to success of a small business, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for talking to me today. I've really enjoyed it. I think anybody that's listening can definitely tell that I've enjoyed it. I really love speaking to anybody, but I love speaking to women that, you know, you've already got enough on your plate, you've got two small children, you're, you know, doing your own thing, which, you know, that sentence doesn't really empower what you're really doing. But to set up a business and keep moving forward is huge. The amount of people that are, you know, keep saying tomorrow, I might try that, or maybe next year. Like, it takes a lot, and it's brilliant to speak to somebody that, you know, you're proof of that it can work when you have an idea to make it a reality and make it a successful reality, as you're doing right now. So thank you for speaking to me. I wish you all the best.
I'm looking forward
to seeing your own brand develop, and I will be looking out as I follow you on Instagram. I'll be looking out for that first employee, and they'll be very lucky to work for you whenever it happens.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. It's been so fun. What I'll do, as I mentioned, I'll link all of your socials here, Instagram, your website. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing your journey continue. So thank you, Hayley, for today. I really appreciate it.